our land is not elastic.
But we all share. We are all welcome, and I just opened the meeting. I hope we will all feel comfortable to make some deliberations. From our side, we have an apology of Honorable Prince. Maybe you can also check from the department whether there are some apologies. See from the Department of Agriculture, Minister and Deputy Minister are already here. And there is a request that we'll start with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery for our presentation. The two departments that, of course, will be making some presentation today. Maybe without, if there are no apologies, okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister. Apologies for Minister Mbindi, who is in the Budget Committee, Treasury Budget Committee, and in combat today. And our two Deputy Ministers who are engaged also elsewhere. Thank you.
Chairperson, we can't accept that. Can't accept that two deputy ministers are engaged elsewhere. What is elsewhere? Because they're supposed to be elsewhere too. If the minister is not there, deputy ministers, one of them must come here. This is an important institution that must be respected by departments of ministers. We can't accept that. No, we can't, Chair. And it must never happen again.
So the absenteeism is condemned, the very strongest foundation. But we'll ever continue. Congratulations for a very successful Land Tenure Summit, where was a robust engagement on the land question. Hoping is it will take us somewhere as the citizens of this country to address the issue of sharing this most important commodity land. Without waste of time, let me hand over to the Department of Culture to give us a presentation. Thank you.
Morning. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. As a department, let me report that we have had meetings with the Department of Land Development and agreed on a program to deal with the question that is posed today, is how do we make sure that we revitalize the cultural economy and make sure that there are no gaps between land being transferred to people and us coming in as a department. I can report that our DGs are meeting and we are attending joint MNMEC meetings with the people that we deal with that issue. But I will request the DDG to make the presentation of the department. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, Director General and colleagues present, we have been requested to make a presentation on our post-settlement support, which is given to beneficiaries of land reform, and I'm making the presentation. My presentation outline is as follows: support mandate, support programs, motive and purpose for CASP, allocation for CASP grants since inception in 2004, expenditure trends, funds gazetted in 2014-15, and expected deliverables, Ilimalitsima, and its purpose, allocation for Ilimalitsima grants since inception, planned food security programs, planned hectares to be planted in 2014-15, and recommendations. I will not spend a lot of time on this slide because this is a known mandate, and this is a standard information which everybody is familiar with. The Constitution makes it mandatory, you know, that every citizen of this country must have access to food and nutrition. We also have the 12 government outcomes that are guiding our work as a department. We have the Millennium Development Goals, which are international goals which are guiding nations of the world. We also have our National Development Plan, Vision 2030, which is actually mobilizing every state institution towards eradication of poverty and hunger. But in particular, which is actually stating that the Department of Agriculture has been identified as a job multiplier and as having the potential to create 1 million jobs. We also have the Maputo Declaration, which has actually sent out a message to say members of the AU must actually make sure that 10% of their national budgets are dedicated to agriculture. We also have the New Growth Path, which is actually encouraging that we should create opportunities for the establishment of 300,000 smallholder farmers. In terms of the support mandate, we have highlighted those three outcomes which are guiding the programs and the work of the Department of Agriculture. The highlighted one, outcome number four, decent employment through inclusive economic growth, and outcome number seven, vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities contributing towards food security for all. And outcome number 10, project and enhance our environment, assets, and natural resources. Our support programs, honorable members, include CASP, Ilimalitsima, MAFISA, which is a loan component of CASP, and we also have provincial food security programs such as Siyazondla, Mohumamobung, Masibuere and Masimeng. Siyazondla in Eastern Cape, Mohumamobung Free State, and Masibuere and Masimeng in Mpumalanga. Motive for CASP. I think this is obvious to everybody that our agricultural sector is a dual sector which consists of the prosperous and progressive commercial sector, and which also consists of the smallholder sector, subsistence smallholder sector, which is still developing and which requires a lot of attention. And those are the figures in terms of commercial sector and in terms of small and resource-poor farmers. And we also know that the resource-poor farmers are mainly informal homelands, and they are characterized by poor infrastructure and low education levels. It is therefore important that our support programs must focus primarily on this resource-poor category of farmers. We also have another motivation, in the sense that, as we have already indicated, even the NDP has identified agriculture as a job multiplier and as one of the major contributors you know, to the economic growth of the country. When it comes to the creation of jobs, agriculture has been identified as a sector with a potential, and this therefore motivates that we should have premier, you know, support programs aimed at making sure that our smallholder farmers are successful in producing. If we look at CASP, and one must hasten to say that CASP is our is our premier support program, comprehensive agricultural support program. Its overall purpose is to provide effective agricultural support services and to streamline the provision of services to targeted beneficiaries of land reform, land reforms restitution and redistribution, as well as to black producers who have acquired land through private means and are engaged in value-adding enterprises domestically or involved in export. Now, if you look at CASP as a premier support program, CASP has six pillars. So at the top, those are the categories of the recipients of support. But if you look down there, those are the pillars of CASP. The first one is information and knowledge management, which is very, very important because we all know that without information, without appropriate information made available to our producers will be greatly disadvantaged. Technical and advisory services refer to extension and advisory services. We believe that without an effective extension and advisory service, even the entire program of land reform will not be successful. On and off farm infrastructure on the farm and away from the farm, such as roads, so CASP is catering for that. We also have a pillar which is focused on training and capacity building to ensure sustainability of products, because without appropriate skills, we cannot talk sustainability of projects. We also have marketing and business day. We have all realized that it is very, very important that our producers access markets. And this is an area where we are still working very hard as a department to make sure that our farmers, our smallholder farmers, access markets to be able to sell their produce. And we also have financial services as the last pillar of CASP. And this one expresses itself through our a loan facility which is known as MASISA. If you look at the CASP grant since inception, because CASP was initiated in 2004-2005 financial year, that's when it started. That's the CASP budget allocation up to now. We are talking 9.3 billion that has been dispersed through the support program, which is called CASP. And of this total, almost 7 billion has been spent on the ground. You can see the percentage there is 89%. It is not 100% because some provinces could not reach, you know, their 100% target. And in that case, if a province has not spent its allocation, its total allocation, it is either the funds are rolled over or in as a standard practice, it has to be retained. If you look at that column, those are the number of projects that have resulted from that allocation, 8,222 total number of projects that have been implemented through that. And at the far right, that's the total number of beneficiaries, 473,542. This next slide is a reflection on the expenditure trend. ever since CASP was incepted. You can see that at least 2013-14 we have seen a remarkable improvement in terms of expenditure where we're able to achieve 100%. But as you can see, you know, provinces were struggling from the very beginning. Now, this is the 2014-15 cut allocation. All allocations once made, they get gazetted, and that is the gazetted allocation per province. If you look at the Eastern Cape, 228.8 million. Free State, 146.5 million. Gauteng, 60.8 million. KwaZulu-Natal, 212.6 million. Limpopo, 225.8 million. Mpumalanga, 135.8 million. Northern Cape, 378.3 million. Northwest, 179.4 million. And Western Cape, 292.3 million. Those are the this year's allocations, gazetted allocations. And the next column indicates what will be spent on projects on the ground, which are supposed to benefit the beneficiaries on the ground. The next column is the extension recovery plan, because we also have a national treasury allocation which is intended to revitalize extension. Those are the allocations per province. Eastern Cape, 81.3 million in terms of extension. You realize that the Eastern Cape there is the highest, and it is followed by Limpopo, 75.6 million. Those are the figures for extension recovery plan. We also have an allocation for our 12 colleges to revitalize the 12 colleges and to reposition them as centers of excellence to make sure that they serve the sector in a more effective way. And therefore, we are implementing what we call a college revitalization plan. So those are the allocations per province. You'll realize that we have Gauteng and Northern Cape where there is nothing there. It is because those two provinces do not have colleges of agriculture. On the far right, we have flood disaster funds that have been allocated. Okay. Total funds available to implement CASP and ILE-Malesema in 2014-15. That is now when we combine both CASP and ILE-Malesema as a grant fund. That is the total funds available. If you look at all provinces combined, it's 2.7 billion if you combine all those. And the next columns indicate what will be spent on what. For example, on livestock production. And this information is based on the approved business plans that have been generated by the provinces and have been approved by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Crop production, that is the figure, the total figure that will be spent on it. Farmer training, market access, technical and implementation fee, extension recovery plan, colleges, disaster and equitable share. We've been able to obtain some information in terms of various departments' equitable share, and that is all of the figures on the far right on that slide. Now, in terms of extension officers, we have put this slide because we are trying to demonstrate the efforts of the Department of Agriculture in terms of revitalizing extension. And one of the requirements we have said to all extension officers, for you to operate as an extension officer, you must have a minimum qualification of a bachelor's degree. And the provinces then started with a program of registering them for further studies with various universities. So if you look at that slide, you'll see that the targeted number of extension officers that must upgrade their qualifications, and then those that are registered and the different qualifications that they are registered for. And there has been tremendous progress in this area to have all extension officers at least have a minimum qualification of a bachelor's degree. Very quickly, as I move towards the end, the college's purpose to revitalize agricultural colleges. Remember that we have 12 colleges of agriculture in the country. These colleges are responsible for producing farmers. Their curricula is aimed at producing farmers. In some instances, they also produce extension officers. But that is in terms of their formal curricula. They also provide short training, skills training programs targeting smallholder farmers. It is therefore important that we know what is happening in these colleges and we keep pulse in terms of ensuring that their curricula is relevant at any point in time. So National Treasury then decided that they must make an allocation which is aimed at facilitating programs to strengthen these colleges. The total amount made available is 157.8 million over the MTF period 2011-12 to 2013-14. And the new MTF period has commenced in 2014-15 with an allocation of 58 million in the current financial year. So another MTF period, which means this funding will be continuing for the next 3 years. The first emphasis in terms of this improvement plan is to improve the infrastructure and the facilities of these colleges to make sure that they are conducive centers of learning. However, there are other pillars which this revitalization plan is focusing on. For example, to ensure that the learning programs are accredited and are of good quality. Establishing and strengthening governance, because if governance is not strong in each college, it cannot operate optimally. Ensuring that there is curricular review. The plan is that every 5 years, each college must look at its curricula, must consult the industry partners and sector partners to say, do you think we are still relevant in terms of the curricula that we are offering? And building capacity for the academic staff, because the lecturer must meet certain minimum requirements for him to operate as a lecturer in a college. Those are the allocations per province, per college. You realize that there are two colleges in the Eastern Cape, Fort Cox and Tolo. Those are the allocations. And in the Free State, we've got Glen College. KwaZulu-Natal, we have Sitara and Owen Sithole. Those are the allocations. Limpopo, we have Madzivandzila and Ntombi Seleka. Those are the allocations. In Mpumalanga, we have Marapyane. We used to have Lowveld College, and Marapyane was the satellite campus of Lowveld, but we all know that the Lowveld College has since been taken over by the Department of Higher Education and planning to establish a university there. The Northwest, we have Taung and Pochestrum, and Western Cape, we have Elsenburg College. Those are the allocations for college. Ilima Letima, to fight poverty through increased food production, the program also focuses on unlocking agricultural production by investing in other strategic programs that include the rehabilitation of the irrigation scheme and other value-added projects. Those are the allocations of Ilima Letima since inception in 2008. That's the allocation per year since inception. And if you look at the far right column on that table, that's the total expenditure in terms of that grant fund. We also have food security programs targeted for 2014-15. Those are households that are targeted by various provinces that must benefit from their food security programs in this current financial year. The number of households, we are also trying to indicate the school programs which focus on food security and the community gardens. That is a reflection on that. This slide is just an indication of our quest to make sure that there is food security. Hectares targeted for planting in 2014-15. That is the name of the province, the commodity it will focus on. If you look at the Eastern Cape will focus on grains, maize, and vegetables. That's the total number of hectares planted for this year, 17,200. Free State, dairy, vegetables, aquaculture, livestock, Gauteng, grains, horticulture, citrus, KwaZulu-Natal, maize and beans, Limpopo, grains, fruit, vegetables, poultry, small and large stock. On the far right, which is a very, very important column, is an indication of the total number of hectares that will be planted. We have received these figures from the respective provinces. Well, under recommendation, we are simply saying these are just recommendations to strengthen what we are doing. It is very, very important that we strengthen provinces in terms of their project management ability, you know, because we have realized that provinces have shown weaknesses in that area. We have also said we need to strengthen the program management, you know, the program management of provinces also requires strengthening. And more importantly, the program monitoring. Dive in the process of ensuring that there is monthly monitoring of cash projects, and not just monitoring but reporting that reports are generated in terms. Even at national, we have reconfigured ourselves to make sure that we strengthen the team that will lead in terms of executing monitoring of CAS projects. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Minister.
Thank you for the presentation. Honorable members, is a written presentation and ready for engagement. Morning to the Minister, Deputy Minister, and the officials from the two departments. So, first of all, as the whip of the committee, I checked on Wednesday. I phoned, we're part of the provincial week program. I phoned the Secretary of the committee, because I was concerned that even though we're part of the provincial week program of the NCOP, but I created a space for me even in the evening to go through the documents in preparation for this meeting. I was concerned that we're not receiving the documents because I knew about the date of this meeting. By Wednesday, we did not have document, and asking, he said he's been pressurizing both departments for the document.
That was on Wednesday the 10th, when I phoned him early in the morning, half past 8. By Thursday, there was still no documents on the 11th. We were only emailed the documents in the afternoon on Friday, the 12th. So we only left with Saturday and Sunday to report yesterday we were doing constituency work. We raised this matter in the meeting where both the minister of the African TBC ministers were present. And the minister in particular committed himself that it won't happen in future. We must register our disappointment that we still find ourselves in the same situation as the last meeting where both the minister and deputy minister were present. It really pressurized, I don't know whether it's deliberate on the part of the officials so that we don't have enough time to go through the document so that we are able to do our oversight work as a select committee properly and thoroughly. I want to just raise that point before I appoint you. For now, I just want to register that concern as a whip of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khai. Before maybe Honorable Members can continue, I didn't check with the Minister, Deputy Minister, whether after the presentation there was anything that they felt have to add on before we take the question. I recognize you and you will follow on that sequence, but I just want to check from both the minister and the deputy minister. If there is nothing, we can continue. Oh, thank you. Continue, honorable members. Follow.
Thank you, honorable chairperson. I've got a few questions. My first one will be on the past pillars, the marketing and business development function. I would like to understand a bit more, especially around the marketing. As we have also identified during our provincial oversight week, that this seems to be a problem in making projects succeed. I would like to understand a bit better on what is done in terms of marketing those produce or whatever. Because I think it's very important that once we create an industry on the one side, especially if people don't have the, you know, or not don't have, but have limited skills, that we link the market with the industry itself. So I want some more info on that. My second question is on the cost grant inception. Now, I want to make sure if I understand it correctly, the budget allocation is 9.3 million rand over the period. Do I have it right? If I can just have a nod from one of the officials. It is 9.3 billion. Okay, because it's set here 9.3 million, according to what I have in front of me. Okay. In that instance, it's such because I was wondering how it comes down to a low amount, because if it was million, it was going to be 19 rand 16 cents per individual. So, yeah. So, okay. No, that's I'm covered. Thank you.
So let's appreciate the presentation made by the department and apparent support is, I know is for the department, but support the recommendations that they've made in terms of consistent monitoring on monthly basis and quarterly the impact, because what becomes important, DG, is the impact of the projects that you are talking about. We can have a grandiose project on paper, but when you go down on the ground they don't even have a dent and significant impact in terms of the lives of our people. Now, I think that will be an important intervention. And also the issue that relates to the academic staff, the lecturers that are teaching them must be of quality, of a particular dignity and decay. I will personally support that, and which I believe the committee will not repudiate that support of statement. I want to bring that, Chairperson, the issue of curriculum review. The DG was saying provinces will have to interact with different stakeholders at provincial level. I'm not sure I understand. I don't want to assume the rationale behind each province interacting with its own stakeholders. I was gonna think that if we have one or similar curriculum, I don't know, maybe it's informed by the conditions on the ground, the department will explain better in terms of that. So when you go to the slide, I forgot the slide now, I didn't note it. The Northwest province, in terms of 0000, there's nothing on Northwest. Yeah, but you will see that. Yeah, it's 0000, all that. Yes, put in that. Yeah. But then the digital extension. Yeah, so your page 14. Yeah, slide 14. Yeah, slide 14. The other issue I want to ask, just for interest sake, your 473542 beneficiaries, that of the department, is that a really a huge number of beneficiaries? This one I want to direct to the minister and the deputy minister. The market access. You know, minister, the deputy minister, every time you come to this committee, you must explain that because you talk about the access market. Because we can have a massive small holding farmers, black and white, but if their produce cannot be sold somewhere, those farmers will not have an income, they will not be sustainable, and they will not survive. The tormenting poverty and hunger that we are talking about will never succeed because they will continue producing and they will be under pricing their own products. And I want to link that minister and the deputy minister to the procedure and processes of participation on the export field. You know, some of the farmers, they will approach us by virtue of knowing that they're a member of parliament or legislature, but there's this particular matter, I want to export my goats or sheep to a particular country in Africa. But there's this particular matter that is hindering, it's a barrier. I can't remember that because it was a long time ago. The link between Department of Agriculture and the Trade Department. The procedure there, I think we need, I might not be brilliant enough in terms of explaining that, Chairperson, but officials will know that. The last issue, Chair, is the beneficiaries of redistribution restitution. Where is the link between the Department of Agriculture and land reform? People who have benefited out of this. Look, we are now talking about the chef schemes. Where do you get in the department to support them? Are they part of the cast? Are we making sure that people that have acquired that particular land, or your farm workers who are supposed to be the beneficiaries in the chef schemes, are they using productively that? Are they benefiting? Or they are just beneficiaries in terms of our keepers, but on the ground, that land still belongs to the previous owner. The entire land it still belongs to the farmer. They are not benefiting in any way. Because one issue that I raised in the summit, particularly the summit, I said, look, we can have this big number in terms of land restitution, land redistribution, but it's just on paper. When you go down practically, our people are selling the land back to the previous owners. Actually, that in the Tata Naikau is what is transferred to Ngungum. You know? We have numbers on paper, but practically our people are not owning and having this land that you are talking about. How do we monitor that? It can be a challenge posed to us as members of parliament, departments, both departments of land and rural development and the agricultural department. I think that's a fundamental question here. You can leave, if you don't have time, leave all other questions and respond to this one. Because to me it's fundamental. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to know what does the plan mean, or what does the department or the minister means when they say under the program management under recommendations, the involvement of municipalities in project planning and delivery. A broader explanation or more details about that. That's my first question, and then the two other ones then. I would also like to know, is the CAP also applicable to farmers and land owners under Act 9, meaning the land that's still in trust and being administered by a specific appointed or elected body? And the third question is, under the pillars of the CAP, the farm infrastructure, with specific reference to water, is there an implementation plan, and what does it entail for access to water for these farmers, including licenses and water rights, to ensure that that water is affordable to small farms and subsistence farmers? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join and welcome the presentation. I want to repeat what has been said. I'll start with slide 5. If VG in future you can be able to assist us to have when you are dealing with the support programs, the provincial food security programs. If you read slide 5, it might give an impression that the Siyazonda, Masubele, Masimini are food security programs that you get in all the provinces, if you read the slide. But practically, it's not that, because if you talk of Siyazonda, it's in a particular province. So if we can have it in a way that will reflect that in Mpumalanga we have got Masibiele Masimini, so that we can know that it's a project of Mpumalanga, then Siyazonda is for KwaZulu Natal, so that we can be able to do the effective oversight. The other thing that I wanted to raise is about the us as the minister and deputy minister, it's about us as the NDOP. I'm impressed how you are able to do the breakdown according to provinces, because it's really assisting us. And we do this provincial week. Last week we were in a provincial week. So once you do that, it's simple for us to answer a provincial week. When you come back to the contest period, we'll be having an oversight week. So it will be simple for us to go to these provinces that we are talking about to check the programs, so that we can be able to assist where we have to get in and assist. But if you go to slide 12, linked to what I've said about the provincial week and the oversight week, whether it's concerned to be taking the parliament to the people, if we can have the amount of money that is allocated to each project in a province, because now we have an allocation of a province, but we don't know how much has been allocated to each project. So if we can have that breakdown, because this will assist us when we go to Eastern Cape, we are going to Nelson Mandela, and that's where you have the project, so that we can be able to say that the project that we are talking about is in this province. The third one is the number of years that the project has been supported through CASP. So that out of that, if you can comment about the third one, or in future, you can try to break down so that it can assist us. Because as we said earlier on, that we are going to be very critical in a very constructive way, and we are going to give credit where it's due. We are not going to criticize because we must criticize. And maybe the number of beneficiaries directly involved with the project, because that will assist. So that we must know what is happening instead of just having the figures of the amount. Then the other slide, the last one. If you go to slide 14, why is there such a difference between targeted and registered officers in some provinces? If you can explain that one, so that I must not assume that what I'm thinking is what you are telling us. The other one is the one that has been raised by Honorable Parties, the training of officers in Northwest. Maybe you have to be very detailed on that so that you can have a better understanding, because they are involved in agricultural activities. It doesn't necessarily mean that if they don't have an institution in a particular province, then they must be left out. The other question is about the number of extension officers having in South Africa. How many do we have at present? And if we can have a percentage in terms of the targeted one, so that when we're dealing with the report in future, we can be able to say, you told us this, and this is the situation now. The last one is about the issue of targeted extension officers studying towards a first year diploma. Maybe if you can clarify, it is because according to the slide, it's they are upgrading the qualifications. But if the upgrading and then but you check the percentage of those that are studying for a diploma, then what is their current qualification, so that we can have a better sense and understand the number of extension officers that we are having and their level of qualification. But Chairperson, I must repeat that PNDG and your team, you really understand that you are coming to the select committee and you are representing the interests of provinces, and your presentation is in line with what we are doing and really assisting us, except part of what I've raised. And if I can be clarified on that one, I'll be happy, because the breakdown is the provinces and the recommendations, I will need to get to it, because already they've spoken about them. Otherwise, it's a very detailed and good presentation. And I want to join Chair. I decided to keep quiet when you're raising it. I want to join what was said when you started by Honorable Parties, that part of what the Minister and Deputy Minister are doing and they've been doing since we started, it wouldn't be in order if we are going to have a department, because it's not that in the morning we woke up and it was a surprise that we are going to have this meeting. It was planned some time ago. And even if in the future, whether we don't have the two of them, I'm talking about those that are here, it will be in order always to have a formal apology. So I'm of the strong view that what was raised by Parties is a very serious matter, Chair. I could be trying to push it aside and say, no, we'll continue. Because it means even those that are taking the work of the Select Committee serious, what would make them come in future? Because it's business as usual. The President was very clear in the State of the Nation address that it's going to be business as usual in this fifth term of parliament. It's after 20 years of democracy, and we can't accept that we'll come here and others are engaged somewhere. I also want to get engaged somewhere after or in this time now. There are some engagement that I want to do somewhere. So I want us to be very clear about that one, Chair, not to send a very confusing message about it. Thank you.
Honorable members, I think we can allow the responses, but we'll also request that all the questions that have been raised should also be answered in writing. The minister, the deputy minister will be leaving us, but will be staying with the minister until the end of our meeting. We'll also accept that apology. Thank you. Honorable Khai, you want to make a second bite before we allow the response?
Yeah, no, thank you very much for the second part. The first one was just trending. I think I'm cool there, so I can make that point. Let's also take that we've observed that in the also observe even in the NA, though I don't sit in the NA, but I do watch television, that the minister and the deputy minister are always present in the committees. I think we should thank them and appreciate that they take the committees very seriously. Yeah. Then the issue of question. For me, I was looking at the strategic plan of the department and also looking at the program. It would be good if we could have a situational analysis talking to the programs, or programs talking, let me put it this way, programs talking to the situational analysis. You know, this thing of having numbers, good as they are, the amounts in terms of friends and friends, but then you have very little in terms of the situational analysis. You are unable to know whether these numbers are making an impact. Any impact, because you do not have a clear situational analysis, you know. So you might talk about the food security program, but without knowing the level of poverty, and then when you talk about the amount that you put in to address poverty, when you have not clarified the extent of the poverty, so those numbers may be meaningless. I'm just making an example about, you know, but I think we should address the situational analysis in our, so that when then we make interventions in terms of the program, we know that those interventions have an impact on the situational analysis. That's a critical point that I want to make. The other issue I wanted to, it is in relation also to the point that was raised by Honorable Nyambi with regard to the upgrading of the qualification of extension officers. I just wanted to check whether there are any programs in place that the department, in terms of encouraging, because I look at the number of, for example, the doctorate, there's only one, is it just the extension officers on their own that just decided to apply to continue with such program? Are there any attempts on the part of the department encouraging the extension officers, those who have the correspondent diploma, are there any programs to encourage them to for the next level and so on and so forth? So those are the, I think all the others with numbers are covered in my other input on the regional analysis.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Maybe the last one for myself before you can respond. Is there any good story that the department progress can cite an example, be it the Winners Project in farming, or the youth, the problems that can be solved? As we go out to do oversight, we should at least be knowing of each project that is
out ahead. And the second one is this MAFISA. To what extent is MAFISA acceptable and known to ordinary Indian and struggling farmer? Members are representing and are coming from different provinces. Honorable members, can we then allow the department to respond? Okay. Still having... Okay.
No, the problem is Chairperson, I don't think I was next to Honorable Mr. Hai. Because I think we have a confusion with Hai and Gaila. So I won't fit this team next step. One of the factors has more or less covered me. But it is quite true. Marketing. I see quite a lot of problems that are covered in marketing here. What is the help of investing in projects and yet these people cannot market their goods? And those are some of the very important provinces. And I think we need to, the department to explain to us why they're nowhere located for marketing. Then, last term we had a program which was materialization. It targeted Lali in Minister. If you think about that the program, that was for the really the poorest of the poor. Of course, it was not well managed. I know. You still have that program. Because some of those tractors, I think I got photos of them, Honorable Parkies. Some of them, they have power, no wheels and nothing, you know. And yet they come and spot and draw to go to any of all those places. I'm not going to still okay. They just lie me. Then also, there's also, which I don't pick up here, irrigation scheme. There's a lot of money that you put into irrigation schemes. You can talk of Neha, Enoha, Zongas on the West. Can you just talk to us about that? And of course, then the piece of extension officers is pathetic, really. If you go down there, they don't exist. They just simply don't exist. I live in Bridges. I'm from Italy. As equal, they do not exist. Can you talk to us about it, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, sorry for having a second bite, but there's two issues that I actually left out in the first one. The one question I still have is on the colleges allocation. I see in the first term they had basically most provinces or most colleges didn't have any spending. I mean, we had a 4% spending by the end of the first quarter, so I just want to understand why low expenditure. And then, Honorable Chairperson, once again on our oversight visit to Limpopo, we've gone to Makgoba states, which we mentioned a few times already. And what we came upon there is, this is the second largest land land claim in the country. They received 43 farms. Now, there is these tea plantations on there, and 54 million rand was spent on, you know, getting it back on and whatever. So when we got there, we got a presentation from the Department of Agriculture that now tea is actually not viable in South Africa. So then we asked, but we spent 54 million rand already in making sure that is. And once again, the question also came there on the marketing, because the question we asked there is, why is it not viable for us to plant tea in South Africa? Why can other countries plant it and we can't? It's not viable in South Africa. But my question is, when these programs are implemented in supporting farmers, are we making sure that it is viable, that we don't just throw money in a bit and nothing comes from it? That's my question. Thank you.
Honorable members, can we now allow responses from the department? Thank you. Over to the department.
Thanks, Mr. President. Let me start by addressing the first members. Let me start by responding to the first comment about documents arriving late and whether it is a design. Let me apologize. We have debated this matter this morning to make sure that it is not only through hard copy they can get information. We can make sure that we can be able to link with people with different forms of mechanisms, even through sending out emails. People, because I agree, if you are going to a meeting, it will be forearmed. I don't think, but I don't think the reason was to even appear so. But I would like to apologize that you received recommendations late. And again, saying the issue of marketing has come up in a number of areas. But key question is to say who informs which crop is planted in which province. Because if we are to link crop production to research being done to check which products will be able to be sold globally, that would in a long way address the matter. I can give a number of crops that are linked to a number of other institutions, milk being bought by a particular retail shop. But I think we need to deal with that early so that we're able to link each crop production to a particular market. I may say that I only arrived yesterday morning. I was in India looking at market availability and how to make sure that when we say to people plant this crop, we are aware that there will be a way by which it has to be exported. I cannot not agree with you more to say, can help to say to plant maize when we know very well that there will be an overabundance of maize in the market and people remain with those products. We have got a list, and I'm sure the person has said we need to reduce this report into writing so that that report can be within the committee. Others are saying in this area these are the issues. I think that marketing program is really what we need. Even to look at the quality of soil before we say people should plant this product, we should do that so that people can be, even the kind of manure we use in doing those things. I think we have taken that, and I'm sure when we give a return response, we'll be able to show which crops have been linked to a particular market. Cash grants, I think we'll be able to respond to that as a department. Consistent monitoring of impact. And I agree with you that if you don't monitor what impact these endeavors we're making, we will not be able to know what is happening. And I've checked also the issue of the academic qualification of our staff, especially the issue of extension officers. I see no one can underplay the importance they play in making sure that we're successful. In the times, when do we plant with crop and how do we assist people going forward? It's an area, I think, and I'm sure members have cited areas where there has been a disregard of that area. The fact that only one person has applied for a PhD degree in an area that we think they are more needed. And we find that what has happened is that over years, they have gone most of them to the private sector. As a result, leaving the DS department. You give them that former agricultural staff are now with the private sector, some of them having been trained by the department. The question is, what program will we have to make sure that we reintroduce the need for that particular skill? Because without extension officers, people will not, for instance, in some areas, I'm aware, if rains come late, let's say around December, January, people don't think of planting any other crop than maize. That should be informing the planting of any crop more than access to markets. I mean, we have been having discussions recently, and because some of the Indian ethnic guys were saying that they are looking for us parcels. That is, they are in demand in India. The question is, which provinces can be utilized? One of our
DDGs who are there will come back and make that report. And I agree that provinces are made aware of what we're going to plant on. I may link this to the question around tea production. What informs a planting tree for the tea? Tea is still relevant as a question that was posed. It's not only that project in Mahuba Kloof. It is also in the Eastern Cape that tea production is not meant in it. People have relied in those plantations on state funding to pay salaries. What informs again that a particular crop is produced? Is it because there's a market for it? Or is it because it has been planted before? We're dealing, and the issue is raised about interaction between agriculture and point of DTI to ensure that the kind of crops we plant are easily marketed. We should be aware that Europe is building up on other markets. As they've seen that agriculture has become one of the driving programs to address food security and also their own businesses. Now, it is not easy to enter some of the markets, but I think we think that our department must make sure that in marketing, we open up space for our products. I'm sure we'll deal with that going forward, as to say, why is tea not fashionable? Why don't we say that government will buy our own tea that we produce in those projects? I'm sure a lot of tea is being used, and this procurement of government can be used, by the way, to say that if there is we have been thinking about this, that why should it not be that with where there are prisons, where there are state hospitals, we focus more on the production by our co-ops, so that they become these focused areas. No co-op can survive without government procurement. We need to look at that, and I'm sure as we respond to these questions written down, we'll be coming with proposals that we think should happen. And I agree with the honourable member who said that your interaction with provinces is key, because what we found was that there was no seamless governance between provinces and national. When funds are given to provinces, in most instances, you are not clear as to why or where these particular funds are placed. It is answered the question of mechanization. Why are tractors not accounted for? One of the areas, and what mechanism can be used to make sure that when tractors are given to a particular province, they can be accounted for, they can be kept properly, and even the training of those really driving them, even servicing them. And I'm sure the provinces have done some to say how many tractors have been in good condition. But the question is, will they be available when less rain falls? So I've taken that question, and in one evening, early morning, I had an interview. And the kind of response that tractors have been used for other purposes is what I see from it. We need to come up with a proposal that on mechanization, we're clear of what we're doing. And there was a question about cars applying to Scotland, and I'm sure we'll respond to that issue. Infrastructure on water and water rights. We have met with the Department of Water Affairs. We are intending to draft out a program to make sure that where there is immigration programs, we don't make it difficult for people to acquire those rights. Analysis of the situation and how do these programs change the lives of people and impact. I think that again goes to the same situation. Because one of the things we believe we need to do is to find that people are, wood production is one of the areas we need to look at. Do we have a plant next to the people for wool, a washing plant for wool, and how does that we assist them going forward? Those are things I think we need to look into. What I think will assist is the issue I raised earlier to say that the two departments, our department, Department of Land Reform, is such that we want to make sure that between any land being transferred to communities, agriculture is there to make sure that that land remains productive. What has happened in most instances is not, in my understanding, land being sold back to their previous owners, but more that the previous owners end up renting it, because there are no plans to make sure that when that land is given to people, it becomes productive. And they cannot overemphasize the need for extension of officers, because the only way you can continue and make that land profit beside extension officers and also other activities, you have to make sure that there are people. Surely there are plans to make sure that we are able to take over that project once it is handed over. I can say that a week ago, I went to visit a project in the northwest, in Krugerstrom. A very successful project where the private sector working with the youth is targeting and assisting coming up farmers who are given land, but only of land reform and land development. And then through their assistance, you can see that there is a production. And our approach is that we need to approach a commercial farmers with the view of offering to our small-scale farmers some form of mentoring, while the vineyard is also assisting them. And you couldn't miss that in areas where there was not such tunnels that were built to make sure that you don't lose your production in winter. We're in a very bad state because not much was done to make sure that it happens. Is there a good story to tell of any project that happens? Yes, there are good stories like the one I've mentioned. But are you having that in your documentation? So the issues you need to come up and report on. What happened to Noha and others? I was with the mayor of Krifani in India last week. And I spoken to the Eastern Cape MEC on agriculture. Noha is being revitalized to its former productive way. But I think it needs more to make sure that, because those dams were still functioning. Understanding the engines for water pumping were still functioning. What we need therefore to work on is the issue that one of the members raised. How much do we work with all stakeholders? Your traditional structures, as well as municipalities, to make sure that there are synergies in the work, in the way we do work. And I was happy that when Department of Land Reform and Rural Development was having its own land summit or conference, such structures were present. And I believe that it will go a long way in dealing with unnecessary tensions. Is there any attempt to encourage people to do PhDs in agriculture? And so one of the issues I must report is that there's been a decision that these colleges will fall under the government of higher education so that you deal with the content of training as well as the issues people have raised on the quality of those who render training. When we, and it become more focused, because if we are to succeed in creating extension officers or the numbers there too, we need to make sure that those institutions are responsible. To what extent does MAFISA known, and what does it assist numbers? And I'm sure there will have to be an answer to that. I can't answer that. I think many people have mentioned marketing. Honorable Gila has mentioned it and many others before. It's an area we look at. But to me, marketing must be informed by the fact that we assist people before they say want to produce maize. One attempt I think we're debating with the Minister of Rural Development was to say some of the former homeland suckers, like the Kanda Milling Company in Paraguay, and I'm sure there are many others, to be looked at with the possibility of revitalizing them or opening them up for possible. So that people don't take, because the cost, the loss between harvesting and is happening more because people have to travel long distances transporting their goods. The condition of roads in farming areas, also an area we need to look at. Mechanization tractor, I'm sure we'll respond to that question. Notwithstanding the fact that there's not a good story, because some of them in the previous times were not allocated properly, or they were allocated, but as station officers, they do exist. I want to argue that because when I was in Limpopo, in one of the very good projects on cable grids production by young women at Sekukuni, they only succeeded because there was consistently an extension officer who was a sister. It is the task we think that in the next meeting of the committee we'll be raising the say, let's quantify how many extension officers at work. How to spread them in such a way that they really visit these areas to assist not only in monitoring but also to assist all projects. Yes, the projects that I think one can say they are successful, but we need to make sure that the number, but no project can succeed without it being linked to a particular market. The local market has said that if we can use state institutions like prisons, hospitals, and others, as well as also our own retail shops, and encourage them to buy local, so that we market those products. And again, make sure that they meet the requirement. Education scheme, I've mentioned that. On college allocation, I think one of the issues raised was why there have been no expenditure, even where funds have been allocated. I happen to have been visited this college in Limpopo, Topisilika, and I had a discussion with them that they need to refocus on courses to deal with the sector we're in, because they've been running such other skills development other than agriculture. But in my view, the answer will be because maybe we have not been paying much attention to that area. The other aspect will look for higher education, maybe the answer, so that there is a focused approach into, but also make sure that the subject content is focusing on agriculture and other related businesses.
Thank you very much, Minister. Indeed, you managed to cover most of all the questions that had been raised. The rest will come in writing. And we really appreciate that always you come up with your team and you are always here as the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Can we then agree that we hand over to the other department also to make the presentation? Because of and appreciate that indeed we have touched also the issue of the irrigation. Irrigation is very, very critical because there is water management which is not part of this department. And we are also seeing that the infrastructure is such that those that benefited historically, even today, are the ones that are benefiting. They cannot be redirected to the emerging business. Imagine farmers, because the problem is that we should produce, of course, throughout the year, not only depending on the rain, while you're having such big dams and the water boards that are managing in a way that it benefit only those that benefited even historically. Can we hand over to the department? I think the Department of Agriculture, if you do have some other commitment, you are excused.
Honorable Chairperson, members of the Select Committee, my name is Mduduzi Shabane. I'm the Director General of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. In the absence of the Minister and the Deputy Ministers, I am leading the delegation. I have taken note of the very strong concerns of the committee regarding the absence or formal apology, at least, of our political principals. We have already conveyed the committee's concerns in that regard. We hope that it can be corrected. And then the second issue, Chairperson, I checked with regard to the presentation. We will have to verify with the committee secretary. I saw the presentation myself on Wednesday last week, and my office assured me that indeed the presentation of the Department of Rural Development was sent to the committee on Wednesday last week. So somewhere, somehow, there's a problem. I think we must find a way of addressing it. I have a delegation with me from the department. We've got the acting deputy director general for the land redistribution and development program, Mr. Zulu, who is responsible for the area under discussion in the department, specifically the program of land acquisition and recapitalization and development program, which is the program through which we are driving what is commonly referred to as port settlement support. But with us also is on my left, DDG Leona Achari, who is responsible for infrastructure development in the department. When we talk about irrigation schemes, when we talk about construction of roads, when we talk about dams, she is the lady leading infrastructure development. We are involved in a few irrigation schemes as a department, in collaboration in some instances with the provincial government. Provincial government departments. And on my left is the acting CFO, Mr. Tapelo Motsoneng. He's been here with us before. Mr. Zulu is going to be leading Jefferson in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Jefferson, Honorable Members, the Minister, DGs, and the colleagues. My name is the DG Fred Bonginkosi Zulu, responsible for the program. I'll be running through the presentation. The presentation outline talks to the introduction based on the program, the progress to date until March 2014, the plan for the current financial year, and the MF target, budget allocation per province, commodities that were funded through the program, the impact made to date in terms of production, jobs, etc. Just the highlights on the impact made to date. As a form of introduction, I think we have highlighted the MTSS, which serves as a preferred guide to planning and resource allocation across the spheres of government, and have also highlighted the National Development Plan and also six policy imperatives. But it must be noted that in terms of this slide, in terms of the program that we are presenting today, our department contributes in the main to priority number four. And also the program started in 2009 when the department took some evaluation in implementation of the land reform program since inception. It identified that many land reform projects or farms were not successful and thus in distress or lying fallow. There was a lack of adequate and appropriate post-segment support. Numerous properties or farms acquired through various programs, such as the ERAD program, were on the verge of being auctioned or had been sold due to collapse of the project, resulting in reversal of the original objectives of the land reform program. Also, as I've said, the program was introduced in actual fact in 2009. It was to address the above challenges. And then the program target target properties acquired since 1994 through the both main programs, that is the restitution and the redistribution programs. It also aims to contribute to the transformation of the rural economy through the establishment of enterprises and industrial development in various agricultural value chains, to ensure national and household food security, to promote job creation, and if implemented correctly, the program will result in significant reduction of the rural urban population and resource flow. We developed a policy to implement the program, which the policy has three study objectives. The broad study objectives in terms of the policy that is used to implement the program, that land reform farms are 100% productive, that the class of fledgling commercial farmers, which was destroyed by 1913 Native Land Act, is written, that the rural urban population flow is significantly reduced. Then the alignment, if we're looking at our program, the program took cognizance of the following, that there is the reversing of the legacy of the 1918 Native Land Act, the Constitution of the Republic, especially Section 25, 26, 27, and 86, Comprehensive Rural Development Program that was adopted by the Department, alignment with the National Development Plan and the Medium-Term Strategy Framework. Then the policy that we are implementing in terms of this program, it seeks to provide the emerging farmers with social and economic infrastructure and basic resources required, combat poverty, unemployment, and income inequality, reduce tide of rural urban migration, complement social development programs of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. The policy or the program is not meant to substitute for or compete with the agricultural development programs of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. It's also not meant to create a welfare program meant to provide support to so-called beneficiaries. The program, again, does not promote supporting people who have means to develop their land, promote profit farmers, people who run their own businesses in towns and cities, but employ managers to run their farms, and also trade commercial farmers who want to make a fortune from the disbursement meant to fairly compensate study partners for work done. When the program is implemented using the four strategic interventions in terms of the policy that we was approved, the first one being the first form of strategic intervention is mentorship of emerging farmers and our land reform farmers, co-management, share equity arrangements, contract farming, and concessions. This strategy of the program emphasizes on the following. The emphasis are placed on the following: the assessing capability of the farmer, assessing farm needs with regards to the recap and development program, use the outcome of the above to determine kind of partnership appropriate for the farm, enter into milestone-based performance agreement with termination clauses, deploy partner and monitor performance, analyze social and economic impact, close out report at the end of 5 years. The program is run for a 5-year period. At the end of the 5 years, after assessing the impact on the intervention made by the state, then we will close the project. We won't support the project beyond 5 years, not unless there is still a need to proceed with the intervention from government. Then the program is implemented in this tripartite collaboration with between the beneficiary, the department, and the strategic partner. I will explain in the next slide the this partnership, the support model that we have developed for this program. In the middle, you can see there's the intervention by department, which decreases from year one, both financially and at project management level. The model above demonstrates the tripartite cooperation as a search between the department, strategic partner, and the farmers or the entrepreneur, which the middle number as a third demonstrates the 5-year involvement of the department in the farm, both financially and at the project management level. The contribution of the department will decrease from the first year to the fifth year, while the contribution of both the strategic partner and the farmer or entrepreneur will increase both financially at the project management level. Then the slide talks to the progress to date in terms of the program since inception from 2009. Generally, currently, we've got 1,459 farms under the program in terms of the five-year funding model, as I've alluded to, which constitute about 1.4 million hectares under the program. The payment disbursement of funds is done in tranches. Tranches based on an approved business plan, and the expenditure to date is 3.3 billion since November 2009 to March 2014. And we have currently 612 strategic partners across all the four forms that I've mentioned above that are assisting, that are supporting our farmers. And the support in terms of the program for the farmers, the 1,459 farms that I've alluded to, ranges from production inputs, infrastructure, machinery, and farm implements. This slide just provides the breakdown of the programs in terms of the performance, as I've alluded to, in terms of the number of farms per farm that are under the program currently, with a total of 1,459, with the 1,400 hectares under the program, and the 612 strategy partners that we have entered into partnership agreements with them, assisting our farmers, and that is the breakdown of the 3.3 billion expenditure that I've spoken about. Now, in the current financial year, 2014-15, these are the targets and what we have planned to do in terms of the program. We have targeted to recapture 303 farms, which we intend to create almost 1,000 jobs and also train about 303 farmers on the particular farm. Currently, the budget allocation for the program for the financial year across, breaking down across all provinces, is 910 million rand. And all projects that we are funding this financial year in terms of the program, they are in the project register, still per province and per district, and also the funding per project or allocating the project is in the project register. This slide is, unfortunately, we have to minimize it to fit in within the PowerPoint presentation, but only what it indicates is the target that I've alluded to before, and then the breakdown of the province, both the existing and the new farms that we are. There are farms that we are proceeding, heading over in terms of the five-year program. There are new farms that are entered to the program. The breakdown is there, as you can see it. And also the training in terms of the provinces, how many the targets for jobs, the province, the targets for farmers to be trained per province per quarter. And this slide indicates the allocations for the financial year 2014-15 per province. The program, as I've alluded to in the previous slide, is broken down into two categories. One, allocation for budget talks to our former grant land acquisition system, where we're acquiring land and transferring it to the beneficiaries. And the second category talks to funds that we acquire as a department and on a leasehold basis in terms of our proactive land acquisition strategy. Total amount then broken down, the province gives us 910 million rand. But for all the farms that are under the leasehold arrangements, where the state acquires the farm and leases to identified beneficiaries, the allocation is 504 million. For the former grant system, the farms that were acquired through the land, the redistribution program, but we transferred to individuals or entities, the allocation for this year for support is 406 million rand. This slide just indicates the allocation in terms of percentages. As you can see, in terms of on the right hand side, the bar graph there indicates the allocation, which if you look at the percentages, the percentage allocation for recap in this financial year is the highest is Mpumalanga, followed by Eastern Cape, and then Northwest. And also, if you look at the left-hand side, the background, that indicates the number of farms that we are currently supporting in each province. If you look at the percentages of allocation, budget allocation, and the number of farms that are under the program, there is a correlation except in the Free State, where there is no correlation in the main, where the allocation is about 80% of the total, but the targets constitute about 7%. But there are a number of reasons because of the commodities in each and every province. Then the commodities that have been funded through the program, just the highlights across the program since 2009 when we started the program, varies between red meat production, poultry, grain, citrus, vegetables, dairy, piggery, and grapes. The next slide, as I said, is just to indicate the impact. It's just the highlights, not limited to what we've presented here. It's just the highlights on the mega projects that we funded, which are successful. This is one of the questions that were asked by one of the honorable members, that the honorable chairperson to talk about the good story to tell. I think we have made the highlights in terms of the projects that are funded, which are performing very well in the Free State. The boiler production, which covers Northwest, and we also covers the poultry value chain or poultry hub in the province of Gauteng, and we are assisting about 14 farmers, but we are still in the AIA stage phase to assist those farmers so that when they produce, we have done all the necessary planning. And also to highlight the very last one, in the Northwest, there is one who is the biggest producer of chickens inside the region in the Northwest, producing about 528,000 birds per site. He's a black young commercial farmer who produces. He's got a contract with the contract farming with the rainbow chicken. Then the grain, I've already alluded to, we've got a partnership with Grain SA. There are farmers that we've supported in Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Gauteng. And also in KwaZulu-Natal, small cane growers and the farmers were supported. About 98 million rand were spent in the industry to support our small-scale sugarcane farmers, which has created quite a number of jobs. And also in terms of the program, as you can see, the figures, that 21% of the land has been and distributed to our smallholder farmers in the area, in the black farmers in the area of KwaZulu-Natal, which we are supporting in terms of this program. Honorable Chairperson, that is the end of the presentation in brief. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Honorable. From the presentation, TD, is there anything that you add or to guide over to the honorable members? Thank you. Honorable members. Honorable Pakis. Honorable Kai. Honorable Nandi.
Let me appreciate and welcome the presentation from the department. And I was just seeing the last slide, which for me it gives a more positive outlook or positive view. But then I want to be critical again on the mentorship that we engage in. You know, I have a firm belief and a fervent view, Chair, that departments can do more if they can be, or they can have what we call vigilance in terms of the work that is being done in the provinces. And that will be my recommendation, really. Because some of the mentorship, they work, some of them, they do not work. And some of them, when you go to the projects that are being given to our people, you'll say, no, this man, the mentor here is like a boss, it's like the owner of the farm, and he's a boss, actually. He's not mentoring us, giving skill and knowledge to us. And those are some of the weaknesses that we need to work on and improve more. But then, sir, the point again that I want to raise relates to I posed the issue or the question in the previous presentation. The equity share schemes. I'm interested to hear that, Babuzu, the equity share schemes, to have any of such in other provinces, or we have them in the Western Cape. If we have them in the Western Cape, what is the state of such? And then also, if we have them in other provinces, what is the state of such? I think there's a matter which is a burning issue in this country currently, and which we need to monitor consistently. Yeah. The question I posed in the previous presentation, Chairperson, the linkage and the connection, interaction of this department with agriculture. I think I want to reassert that question again, because it's so much important. If we are to succeed in whatever that we are doing, Sabulela.
Following a sequence, honorable members.
Thank you.
Sorry, honorable chairperson. I think the first one is similar to the point I raised. Firstly, let me also add the appreciation of the presentation. Secondly, let me raise the same point I raised in the previous department's presentation. That of perhaps if we could have a situational analysis so that the intervention we make were able to say these interventions are impacting on the situation that we have analyzed. So I think I wanted to emphasize that. But another point that I wanted to check with regard to the strategy, where the process leading to the strategy, whether there has been any consultation with the farmers and their buy-in and the issue that they've raised as concerns, so that the strategy could take those concerns into account. Just one point. The other point is with regard to the aims. Two of the aims talks about ensuring national and household food security. To what extent have those aims been achieved, given that the program started in 2010, at least there should be some milestones. And also the promotion of job creation, if we could at least have some numbers in terms of jobs created since the program. The other relates to the objectives of the policies. It talks about land reform funds are 100% productive. To what extent, in terms of the percentage, are we realizing the policies? And also talk to the issue of rural urban population flow is significantly reduced. To what extent has that policy objective has been realized? The other issue that talks to, or it's also this issue of rural kind of rural urban migration. Has there been any research conducted to see that they were realizing those intentions? Also, there's a point that relates to the issue of those who are excluded in the program, those who have means to develop their land. Is there any threshold in place where you say, no, these cannot be, cannot participate in a program because they have means? Is there any threshold in place? Yeah. And the other question, let me put it this way. I just want to check what support does the department provide to land reform beneficiaries in the Montrose program. Because this has to do with the oversight work that we've been doing. I don't know, the example that I'm having is that of my province, the Eastern Cape, in Grahamstown, for example. I don't know maybe whether the department would be able to give us or maybe doing it sometime. Maybe it should be present writing that we send the committee to the department so that they have adequate time to follow up on this question. Because most of the questions that I wanted to ask are practical from my province. So what I should be doing is just to send them in writing to the department so that we can get a response, so that allow the time to the department to investigate those issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm coming back again to the issue around Makhoba ESA. It's actually a good example of quite a few things that we need to attend to. My question is, this estates have been bought almost 10 years ago. And currently, as we sit now, the title deed hasn't been transferred to that tribe's name, not to the trust, not to any of that. In fact, it was transferred to Public Works. The Public Works is keeping trust of that or looking after that. So we're spending all these recapitalization, you know, and post-settlement funding. And who is actually benefiting in terms of this? Because that was the question we had there as well. We're giving benefits to non-beneficiaries, basically. And how are we dealing with this? Is this an isolated case, or are we sitting with a general problem in terms of this?
Let me join and welcome the presentation. If only one question, slide 9, dealing with the program that the program is not promoting. The 3 points, if maybe you can clarify each of the three so that I can have a better sense, because looking at the first one until the last one, I still have more questions. Maybe if you can clarify the three of them so that I can have a better sense, why are you leaving them out, and make practical examples so that I can have a better sense. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think that the department will be able to answer what I'm going to ask, but I think to you, Chairperson, they can supply the reply in writing to the committee. The first one is that the farms that are assisted on state land, can they give us a list of them per province and how are they assisted and how are they selected? The second one is the outstanding land claims. Can they give us a list of outstanding land claims? What are the challenges and how do they plan to overcome that? Because there's been challenges for some time, and these outstanding claims are not being resolved. And it also affects some small towns because they cannot expand because of the challenges. So if they can give that to us in 19 chapters, so thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think I'll have to hand over to the department to respond, but there will be a follow-up also in writing. Maybe the good story of a farmer in Northwest, one can check exactly in what district or municipality is that a young farmer who is doing a wonderful job in with the chickens. It can be one of the area that you should also pay a visit as for doing some oversight. Over to the department.
Okay. Honorable Chair, we will share the question. Perhaps I will just start with some, especially the first one, on the monitoring of the effectiveness of the program on the ground. We agree with the Honorable Parties that indeed this is an area that needs attention. We do come across farmers sending us SMSs, phoning us. In many instances, we've had to intervene where there are disputes between mentors and the farmers themselves. So we do agree that this is serious, an area of improvement. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting on Friday, this last Friday, with the minister, discussing exactly this particular issue. And we are reviewing all the existing contracts. So we've put a team together. We will be looking at the program in its entirety, including the issues of impact. It will include the questions about whether the policy objectives are being met, to what extent the policy objectives have been met. There has recently been an independent study on the program led by the President of the Department of Planning, Performance, Monitoring and Evaluation. It does point out some weaknesses. It points out some of the strengths of the program. It suggests areas of improvement. So at least we have that information. Indeed, it's been only about 4 years since the inception of the program. If you look at the projected numbers of possible even migration, as set out in the National Development Plan, the numbers are huge. We're talking close to about 20 million people living in rural areas. The majority of those people are living in the former homeland. Now, we have got a program of land acquisition that aims to assist people in the former homelands to have access to land. One of the categories we want to single out in the former homeland are the small-scale farmers who are farming under difficult conditions. They've got either large herd of small or large livestock. They can't expand because of congestion and overgrazing. So we are looking at acquiring the land in the outer periphery of those particular areas. So, but we are targeting the farmers. If you are talking about the urban migration, you are talking about millions of people. I think the NDP approximated that I think it will be between 5 to 15 million people will be living in urban centers by 2030. We are looking at assisting by that particular period of time about 3 million people, smallholder farmers, working together with the Department of Agriculture. So I'm not saying perhaps it's too early days to say that we can show the impact in arresting or impacting on that. But again, let me link it to the broader question of where do we link up with the Department of Agriculture. You saw earlier on in their presentation, in one of their slides, they were talking about the different outcomes, the outcomes-based approach. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is coordinating what is now commonly known as Outcome 7, which is about comprehensive rural development. In the previous term, it was known as a vibrant, sustainable rural communities and food security for all. That outcome focuses on a whole number of issues. It focuses on land acquisition, it focuses on food security, it focuses on land acquisition, it focuses on infrastructure development, be it basic infrastructure, be it social economic infrastructure, and other forms of infrastructure. It focuses on rural enterprises as well. So the Department of Agriculture, of Rural Development and Land Reform, together with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we are jointly leading the rest of government insofar as that outcome is concerned. We have what is called an implementation forum at a technical level that is chaired by the DGs. Then we have got the executive implementation forum, which is chaired by our minister. We are working together with the Department of Agriculture. We have identified 6 priority areas in the next 5 years that we are going to be focusing on. I've mentioned some of them. One of those areas is going to be focusing on the support to smallholder farmers. The target in the 5-year plan that we have with the Department of Agriculture is that we'll be supporting approximately about 300,000 smallholder farmers. We are looking at revitalizing about 1 million hectares of agricultural land in the former homeland. So the question we're discussing now, the issues we're discussing now with them is how much of the CAF money should be going towards that 1 million hectares of land, and how much of our CAF money should be going into that. And we are talking about, when they were showing their 6 pillars, we were saying the Recapitalization and Development Fund should be going mainly into the pillar that deals with infrastructure development, so that they can focus on food production, they can focus on technology, they can focus on training, veterinary services, and like. So that is the kind of education we are having with the Department of Agriculture. So we are trying very, very hard to align. When we present at 2 different departments next year to Parliament, as now we have been requested by the President to develop in the next, present in next year, 2015 to 2020 strategic plan. We are meeting with the Department of Agriculture, but by the time we come to Parliament to present our 5-year strategic plan, we have made sure that the linkages are visible in our strategic plan. It is not just what we say, but they are visible, including the alignment of our budget. Those are the areas that I thought I should clarify or add on. And then the issue of consultation with the farmers. There has been extensive consultation with the farmers. I think the last consultation with the farmers was about in July, about 1,000 of them who are beneficiaries of the program. We met them in Binoni. They were telling us what are the problems with the policy and what is the problem with the officials of the department, and they gave us suggestions about what needs to be done. Hence the review that we are talking about that is led by the DDG HRD next to me. Those are the major issues. I'm not sure if Matala will be able to provide the exact details on what is happening in Makoba's Kloof. We can get the details in writing. But what we can say is that we have serious challenges since the settlement of that day. Various deputy ministers that have been in the department, even in the previous term, have been trying to mediate between fusing parties that are involved in the TA state. So in that whole area generally in the TA state. So we have been having serious challenges, but we will perhaps rather prepare the committee a written report that will be more accurate and with update information. Madam.
Thanks, DG, Honorable Chairperson and the members. I think DG has covered some of the issues, except that the issue on the clarity on slide 9, we will then, I think, in the response, the written response, we will provide the response as well, because it's detailed in terms of we've got four categories of beneficiaries, we've defined them. So there are those that I think the very first comment on the line, we are talking to those kind of persons, we have defined them in the document, but we'll provide it in writing. And also we'll also await for the question from the honourable member on GAMTA, on the key issues, then we will provide the response in writing as well. There is another one on the on the list of funds assisted on statement through the program, will also provide it in writing. And also I think the DG will take the other one on the list of outstanding land claims with the regional claim, the commissioner, chief land claim commissioner. And the chicken farmer in Northwest will provide a profile as well to the chairperson on that one in writing. I think that's it, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. Okay. Perhaps on the share equity schemes, they are spread, whatever, we would do have them elsewhere. And then on slide number 9, on the just giving the practical example on the differentiation and the exclusion there.
Let me talk to the firstly, the chicken farmer, although give the shepherds a profile, is on the Bojanala district. And the on slide number 9, as I said, we have a four categories of persons that we are supporting in terms of the program. Where we are saying the persons who are meant to develop their land, those who are categorized them as falling under category 1 of the four categories, which are those persons who can go to the bank and get a loan funding to support themselves, or they've got their own investment. So we are saying that those are categorized in the assessment, when we do the assessment, like I've said in one of the slides, to say the program, what we do the assessment of the capability of a farmer. That exercise determines whether you do have the means or you only need minimum support from the state to take off and not necessarily fund you throughout the entire 5-year program. And also the second one, which talks to promote proxy farmers. We're talking about absent farmers who just acquire land, or we acquire the land, we lease it to the person, but the person is nowhere to be found. They stay somewhere else in touch with running other businesses rather than being on the farm. In fact, the issue here is that we are saying we are not promoting absentee farmers, people who are sitting somewhere, but only put farm managers on the farm without them being involved. And also, the last one talks to the failed farmers in terms of those farmers becoming our strategic partners, not necessarily coming to support our farmers, but they are coming just to earn the 15,000 rand mentorship, or to earn 10% in the business or in the farming operation, or they benefit only from the disbursement of the funding from the state. So those same farmers, we explain them what we do in the strategic partners. We do an accreditation for all our strategic partners. There is a process of accreditation where we look at the history and experience of those farmers, where they farmed before, just to categorize them and accredit them. If they fall within that last bullet, then we don't want to engage them. But it happens sometimes because of information. That is why DG is saying we are doing those reviews based on the recommendations by the recap farmers that we the from our workshop that we had in July in at Bozek. Thank you. In Binoni. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think we must agree that indeed the supporting information will be forwarded to honorable members. But in conclusion, we have to emphasize that in future, make sure that all the principles are present, because they're spoiling the good presentation that you're making. Even the issue of the material to be submitted at least 7 days before the meeting. Honorable member, that's one that I raised. You still raising something?
No, sir. At that point, perhaps, because we are dealing with the two departments, the DG talk about the coordination between the two departments. It would be nice if what you read in one department is collaborated by the other. For instance, on the issue of the DAF talk about the hectares that were targeted for planting, and it lists the commodities. And then you go to Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. But also, to a certain extent, it refers also to commodities, but under the capitalization program. Now, if these things, you could have some synergy, so they talk to each other. What you read in one, you also, it is collaborated on. It would be nice if we could, for example, DAF talks about 17,000 hectares in the Eastern Cape. And it focuses a commodity like maize and vegetables. You don't find that in the Department of Rural Development. There's nothing on the Eastern Cape with regard to maize. You find maize on another province. So I'm saying that in terms of the coordination, if we would have these alignments, you know, so that what you reason I'm not saying that in terms of number of hectares it will be the same, because the 17,000 includes those who are not necessarily in the program, but generally. But you must be able to know of the 17,000 hectares, how many are in the program. And so that kind of, just making an example about the Eastern Cape, but that will, for the rest of the provinces, should be the same.
All right, thank you very much. I think we must thank the department. But in terms of the collaborations, I think there's another critical department that should also be part of the route itself. The department that is also dealing with water. Because the success of commercial farmers are utilizing the bulk of the water from these big dams. Rivers also will be passing through, or canals passing through your farm, but having no access to that water. So that is another area that the three departments integrated and interconnected in approach. Okay. Thank you very much, Department, and we'll excuse us. The members will remain so that we can continue also with our own business. Thank you very much. But it will be appreciated that because we join you at the summit, we don't have more information. Your resolutions, also the minister's opening remark for his speech, if we can have access to them, because it is one of the fundamental issues. The crack of the summit was resting on that input by the minister. We really appreciate that you can forward it to all our members. Thank you very much. Excuse the department. I make a plea to the honorable member. Yeah, you
you will make it official, and then we will choose.
Honorable members, for our agenda, can we quickly check our second item? Want to check whether there's any nomination from the members, yes? Honorable Paki.
Oh, no, I thought you were dealing with minutes. So, sure.
But this item to the secretary that you explained.
Thank you, members. During the first, if members remember correctly, it was near the end of the first, I handed out documentation for suitable candidates to serve on the Land Bank Board in terms of the Land and Agricultural Development Act 202. Members said, we explained that the process that during this term, if there are any nominations, the members would bring the nominations to the committee. If there are none, we will just write back to the department and say there are no nominations were made. So whether or not there are any nominations before the committee. If there are, we will then have to agree and adopt them and I'll forward them to the department. If there are none, we will then just write to the department and say there are no nominations. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe there was a confusion. For me as a person, I thought that all that we needed to do would be to encourage people who have required skills to apply. I didn't know that we should be nominating people ourselves. So I think that's a mistake on my part.
Sir, can you just remind us, when is the timeline? Because we can't lose that opportunity. We need to send our people there. These boards are the decision makers. And they even, yeah. But let's have a way to handle that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, normally the department via the chair of the council sends us a letter giving us the deadlines and everything. In this case, they never gave us any deadline. And today is our last meeting. I would assume that the deadline is probably now during recess. So if we were to make nominations, we would only be as a committee, we would only be able to do it during the first meeting of the next term. Because whatever nominations is made, it has to be adopted and ratified by the committee.
We are having a time constraint, and this is the second chance, and it is equally important that indeed we must have somebody, okay, from what I've seen from the honorable members.
Can we give you, I know my colleagues will differ with me, can we give the citizen unlimited mandate, or a mandate, let me put it that way, a mandate to follow up on that particular matter and coordinate, assisted by the officials, but we must have somebody, please.
But are we supporting that?
Honorable Chairperson, I think it is clear that it must come through this committee. I mean, it was just said that way as well. So, No, I can't do that. I can't support that for the sake of it. I suggest that we go back and we make sure that we attend to this issue, and when we come back at our first meeting, that we actually finalize that.
Chair, there's two other ways we could do this. One by email. And the proposal could be put to the committee, or that they have a short special meeting in the course of this week, towards the, not Friday, Thursday. Okay. Thank you.
But we have a cut of time. Must make sure that by Thursday at least all this information, or else we must have a special meeting on Thursday, very early in the morning, then deal with the matter. It's agreeable. Thank you. And it's very, very important that the person that you nominate should be the person that you know of. The CV should be made available in the nomination letter that they agree with that nomination. Okay, thanks. Is there any proposal? No, I'm not going to the last item. That is the next. Is there any proposal or remover? Honorable Pagi?
Sir President, on, yes, I've scanned and I've scanned the minutes. I move for the adoption of the minutes. But then there's an issue that I want to check. If you go to page four and page five. I'm trying to save your time, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the minutes, but also raise the issue emanating from the minutes. Where we spoke about the department sending written responses on the 2nd of September, whether they did send that, and then the biodiversity economy, I'm not sure whether we're informed about the date. No. Okay. Yeah, those are the points, but I move for the adoption.
Second.
Right. The last item, sorry, which is the progress. Honorable Paki.
I'm not sure, because attached to this program, the reform that must be signed by the chairperson of the Ashe, Honorable Nyambi. These are side visits. Side visits. Oh, okay. Oversight, yes. I normally call them side visits. President, I want to check whether is there any on page 2, the portion, the last column. Can we really, will the department come here? I'm not sure. But then can you really call the department to brief us about the rhino portion? Only for that? Can we really call the department on the 4th of November? Just to brief us about the outstanding claims. Only that. I'm really just shaking.
Yeah. All right, thank you for the proposal, but emanating from our chairperson's meeting, maybe it is equally important that we should share with the committee. But as we go for maybe oversight, two related, for instance, our committee is having with also in the communications. So as we go out to make an oversight, we make sure that the two committees are linked together. They identify also project or program that we can do some oversight on that. Okay. So I wanted to leave it to the committee first before we look at this program. As to that linkage, how best can we identify? Like, President, let's say maybe if you are going to Free State or you are going to Limpopo, that is the close proximity with Northwest, taking either Medupi and having a project on the agriculture, but on the 21st or the 22nd, during that period, that's citing an example, making sure that it will be ESCOM at the same time also be substantial.
Support. It is our decision that because we are members of both committees, we must have But I will encourage or suggest that because the issue of rhino pollution is a big issue in South Africa. But I think again, let's focus on the projects, the infrastructure projects. Like your whatever that you might talk about in the community, but also issues of projects on agriculture, land reform, like the project that we were talking about earlier. I forgot the project that the minister was talking about here, is it Limpopo or Northwest? I'm not sure. Yeah, because for me it doesn't make any impact or any weight if we are to be briefed about rhino pollution. We know that rhino pollution is a challenge. Yeah, it's a challenge and it's an international issue, actually. But let's go to the projects that are on the ground are supposed to be assisting our people. It is just a humble submission.
I think that's agreed. If you can come up with suggested specific ones.
I'm not sure if Honorable Pagi said that this program is all about site visits. I'm sure the starting point is there. The site visits, the oversight week is from the 21st, I think, to the 24th in the Free State. But nothing to do with rhino poaching. It's about this RADP. The issues of the rhino poaching, those are briefings. Like we've just had briefly from the department, F and DRL, you know, so there's a difference. So I think that's where the confusion is. You can't say in the Free State, let's go and do a project, make to be project when they are not in the Free State. But then let's agree on the issue of over that week, whether we are happy with the Free State program, things that we'll be doing in the Free State. If we agree, that's fine. And then we come to the briefings by the department. And then they, on the DEA, are we happy with just focusing on rhino poaching? But if there are other additional issues we want to include, we can just do that. Maybe say rhino poaching or ocean economy, for example. But let's not confuse the oversight with the departmental briefings.
Honorable Henry.
Chair, my understanding of this program that is being presented to us is to assist us to have a sense and try to make an input of what we'll be doing in the third term. So, tempted to respond in what is being raised by both Honorable Pakis and Honorable High. I think Honorable High is just missing what is being raised by Honorable Pakis, because Honorable Pakis is correct. What he's saying, even if you have something that's showing that on the 11th of November, we're calling a department to come here,
There's nothing that stops us from changing what is here and reflect what we want, because that's the purpose of what we are trying to do now. But the 21 to the 24th is not only even for this committee. I can share that all committees, it's an NCOP oversight week. All committees will be doing the oversight. But it doesn't mean that any other date we can't pick it and say, we want to go and check a project that is happening on the ground. So in that spirit, Chair, I want to submit that looking at the project, the program that we have, there is room for improvement considering the 2 points that has been raised by honorable parties. And we have agreed to go as a plan that the things that we want to see happening in us in the NCOP and the NA. You'll remember that not so long ago, even this issue of rhino poaching, the portfolio committee in the NA was all over these provinces where there's a problem of rhino poaching. They were in KwaZulu-Natal, they were in Mpumalanga, they were in Northwest, they were in Limpopo, dealing with public hearings. They want to have a sense and how people can assist. And it means we are not going to do the duplication. And to me, I agree with the parties. It's a time that we'll be waiting. So let's agree that, of course, for the template that is guiding us, we've got days that have been identified. But with your management, Chairperson, you can improve and consider the suggestions that have been raised here to come with something that will assist us as a committee. And if we want to live with the spirit of business unusual, it means there's a room for improvement in what we have in front of us, out of the template. Thanks to have this as a guide, but let's improve it. And on the one of the 21st and the 24th, the reality is that there's no way that you can do it as a committee without considering your colleague or with the co-chair. Because on that week, also, if you agree with her at management level that no, I want to go to Free State first day, second day, where she wants to go, because we are sharing membership. So there's no way that we can even allow to be divided, because we must be assisted. And I remember the suggestions that we agreed is that because it's the beginning of the system, it will be in order for us to visit people that will be doing oversight on. Even the offices of these departments, we go to them, we ask them questions, is this your building, are you listening, what's happening here? Even the agricultural college that they are saying is in Free State. We go there to the agricultural college, we interact with the management, the students, we have a better sense. Then it means, whether it's next year or whatever time, when they are coming to us to do a presentation, we are better informed, unlike relying on this nice presentation that you can see sometimes that might not even assist us if the people can express. That's my submission, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Mr. Nyambi is 100% correct. This program was drafted as a guide. Me and Kobus, members were in Provincial Week, Chair were in Provincial Week. Me and Kobus only sat down. We looked at the issues that was raised by all members during the two sessions we had here and the strategic plan. And when we put in the rhino poaching, Mr. Singh raised the rhino. So it was basically a guide.
Thanks. There are two issues. There's this outstanding workshop on environment, the legislation. And we even said it might even want us to take 2 days. I'm humbly suggesting that let's squeeze it in here, in this program. And then there's this biodiversity in Daba. And with our decision, we said let's have that particular so that we understand the biodiversity before the Indaba. That's my. I'm proposing the way forward.
Chairperson, I hope for the adoption of the program with an end.
Yes.
Thank you.
But I just wanted that we should. The point that was raised by Honorable Nyambi, that we need to check with the chairperson of the communication and the public enterprises, so that when we deal with the the oversight we also take into account the problem of that particular committee. I think the issue of workshop and also in our agree because it has to relate to this issue of the NA and the NCOP. I know, for instance, when we were doing the provincial work in the Eastern Cape, the Department of Environmental Affairs at the summit in Charta, the part and the people, the NA was there, but the NCOP was not invited. I don't know whether because it took place during the week of the provincial week or we're not going to be considered in any case whether it was not linked to the provincial week. But I think it's something that we should put to the department that they must treat NA and NCOP equally. Thanks.
Honourable members, our supporting staff, thank you very much. The meeting now. Honourable members, though we have already had a meeting, invitation.